sent church this morning.
I tell you, I'm thanking you so much for your patience. We welcome you to stand with us as we get ready to worship this morning. I tell you, when the enemy comes in, even when it's little technical gremlins, okay, that lets me know it's something special about to happen up in this place. And he wants to kind of, you know, hold it back. But you can't hold back our praise, amen? So I want y'all to get excited, because right now we're going to declare victory over the enemy. Come on, somebody shout out and praise.
Well, excuse me for a minute, but I've got a song to sing. It might not be on key, but it's from my heart, and no one else can tell it what the Lord has done for me. This might take all day, so I'm gonna start right now.
And it might get loud. Heaven's coming down, 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 and it might get loud.
Somebody say,
it might get loud. Heaven's coming down, 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 and it might get loud.
I don't got a halo. No, I'm not a perfect man. I'm just glad to be a child of God. When I think of where I could have been, should have been, would have been, if you hadn't stepped in. Oh, I got a praise on the inside that can't be denied, and I gotta get it out right now.
And it might get loud. Come on, sing.
It might get loud. Heaven's coming down, 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 and it might get loud. It might get loud. Down, 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 and it might get loud.
When the chains start breaking,
it might get loud.
When the saints start praising,
heaven's coming down, 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 and it might get loud.
When the chains start breaking,
it might get loud.
When the saints start praising,
heaven's coming down, 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 and it might get loud.
Thank you, Jesus.
To him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless, to the only wise God be all glory, honor, dominion, and power both now and forevermore. He's worthy of all the glory. He's worthy of all the honor. The dominion and power belong to him now and forevermore. It all belongs to him.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
All together,
you're worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, Lord. Come on, you guys, sing I exalt thee. Come on, sing it out loud.
Deserve the glory.
real quietly. Liberty, there is freedom, there is healing, there is deliverance, there's restoration. Come on. So I just encourage you to lean in here.
Just gone through the motions. I'm sorry.
coming back to where we started. When you call my name, when I first felt your love, how you changed. Caught up in your presence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just wanna see.
That we are not just human, we're not just earthly, but we are spiritual as well. And all it takes is a moment to just step out of the natural and just step right into the presence of God. For as you begin to worship me, says the Lord, you step into a realm where there is no need, where there is no pain, where there is no shame, where there is no sorrow. It's just one step, says the Lord. It's just as close as your next breath, says the Lord. For it comes from when you step into my presence, just as you open your mouth to worship me, as you look upon me and look away from the earthly things, says the Lord, so my presence becomes more real. So the spiritual becomes more real in the natural world. So you transfer that peace that exists where I am into an anxious world. So you transfer the health that I have into a sick world. So you transfer everything that I paid for into your life, says the Lord. It's as simple as stepping into the realm from which I rule. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do you know the Bible says that the Father is seated, the Almighty God is seated in heaven, and it says that Christ is seated at his right hand, that he's done everything that you could possibly need. Amen. Everything you possibly need, all we have to do is reach out and receive what it is that he's done. Praise God. Beautiful, beautiful time of worship. Thank you to our worship team, and welcome to Ascend Church this morning. Won't you just turn and greet someone and and tell them how glad you are to see them, and you may be seated. Good to see you all on this July 4th weekend. Great to be in the house of God. Welcome to those that are watching online. Welcome to our Send Church members wherever you are. We're glad that you're joining us today. Many people traveling, but I hope you've just stay tuned into our online church service this morning and be blessed by the Word of God. And welcome to each and every one of you. So glad to see you. Voting can wait. All of the things that people can be doing this morning, as far as I'm concerned, it can wait. There's plenty of time to do it. I like to be in church on Sunday morning. How about you? Amen. Well, I just want to welcome anyone who's visiting us for the first time. We love having visitors in our church. We just like to honor you, recognize you where you're sitting. Not going to embarrass you in any way, but if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you? Anyone here for the first time? God bless you. Welcome. Come on, make it louder. Clap for two people, right? So glad that you're here with us today. And there should be a card that says guest. We ask you just fill that out and drop it in the offering bucket later. Amen. It's going to be a good weekend. I know you've got a good message to preach to us about freedom, right? And so just to let you know, we're going to pass our clipboard down. Just let us know that you're here, and the various ways that you can watch. People are watching on Facebook Live. Welcome again. Let us know where you're watching from. I like the extension of our church into an online audience, and people watch from all over the world. Don't you love technology? You can watch from all over on Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube, and on our website, ascendchurch.us. Go ahead and watch us, share it, let other people experience church this morning. So thank you for joining us today. And we're going to, I'll remind you of, come on, Pastor. I'm ready for you. Just want to remind you of our four main purposes: that you would know God, that you would find freedom, that you would discover your purpose, and that you'd make a difference with your life. Amen.
Well, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Quiet today, huh? Today was one of those days. One of those days. I remember when we were in Cape Town, and we moved into our first, not our first building, we moved into our second building. Was a big factory complex and seated 1,000 people. And our very first service, we were so excited. And I got there on Sunday morning, and one of the pipes had burst in the bathroom, and the entire building was like 6 inches of water. Everything, all our brand new carpets, everything we put in, was all covered in water. Gosh. And we had these big old brooms, and we swept the water out the door, and we had church. It's like today, our sound man, something happened. Chester, our sound engineer, Chester, is usually here, but he couldn't be here today, so he arranged for someone else to cover for him. Well, that person didn't turn up. So it's great fun running a service when you don't have anyone running sound. And then last weekend, I guess Miguel was away, and he just got back on the red eye today, came to church from Colombia. They went to see their family, and he took the red eye, and he's here today. Anyway, but I think the haze machines were left plugged in, and so on Monday night at midnight, I got a call from the fire department, and they said the entire building is filled with haze. These haze machines were going wild. And we had the fire truck, and they said, you've got to come here now. So 12 o'clock midnight, I'm here Monday. They're clearing all the haze out the building, so they probably unplug some things in the process. So this morning we're trying to figure the lights out. We're trying to figure the soundboard out, trying to figure this out. But let me tell you right now, I'm ready. I am ready to speak, to preach. I'm ready no matter what happens. If there's a flood, if there's a hurricane, if the sound engineer doesn't turn up, the lights don't work, I'm ready to go. Are you ready? Because all of this other stuff is peripheral. Amen. So praise God. Thank you for being here today. This is July 4th weekend. I know we have a lot of folks out of town today, but I can't think of anywhere else that I'd rather be where we should be other than in church, giving thanks to the Lord for the blessing that we have of living in this nation and for the freedoms that we have of living in this nation. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, even when we are faithless. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, today for the freedom that we have living in this nation, but even more importantly, the freedom that we have through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you have set us free in every area of our life. And Lord, today as I speak your word, I thank you, Lord, that you help me, you anoint me. I thank you that you bring understanding and revelation to each person's mind here today. And I thank you, Lord, that you cause our faith to grow, that our faith rises up big today, Lord, and that we walk in the freedom that you came to bring us, Jesus. Lord, we give you all of the praise for everything that will be said and done today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you agree with that, say amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad to see you here today. Smile at them. Thank you to the worship team. You can go ahead and put the graphic on. Today being July 3rd, tomorrow's July 4th, I want to speak about truly free. That's what I want to speak about today. As Americans, we are getting ready tomorrow to celebrate July 4th, Day of Independence. We celebrate freedom in America. But you know, Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, verse 36, says, if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. You can never really be truly free in your life without Jesus in your life. When you receive Jesus in your life, He truly sets you free. Can anybody say amen to that? Tomorrow is an important day for us Americans. It's the day we celebrate Independence Day, July 4th, 1776. 56 brave men signed the document known as the Declaration of Independence, where America declared independence from England and the nation of America was born. And that spirit of independence was not meant to exclude God. In fact, John Adams, who was a signer of the Declaration of Independence and became our second president, he said this. He said, the second day of July, 1776, because that's when they made the proclamation, will be the most memorial epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. He said we should celebrate the freedom that we have in this nation with solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, illuminations from one end of the continent to the other, from this time forward and forevermore. And you know, I was born in Detroit, Michigan, and we moved to South Africa when I was 8 years old. And so I grew up in South Africa, and we came back here 1999, like 22 years ago, 23 years ago. And I think sometimes if you have never lived outside of America, that sometimes you can appreciate the freedoms of America even greater when you've lived in another country. Some Americans never been outside of America, and I don't know if they really appreciate the blessing it is living in this nation. I just heard they did a poll, and I'm not sure how accurate it is, but according to this poll they did, 56% of Americans are not proud to be American. 56%. Now, just 20 years ago, it was only 28%. And that's gone to 56. And I think that's a sad thing because, can I tell you, I am grateful and I am blessed to live in this nation. Just go and live in South Africa for a couple of years and you'll be very blessed and grateful to come and live in America. Just go live in Cuba a couple of years, you'll be very grateful to come and live in America. Go live in Venezuela a couple of years and you'll be itching to get back to America. So I'm thankful to live in America. And, you know, our founding fathers were Christians. They honored God. And America stands for freedom because it was built upon biblical principles. I believe that's why the nation of America has been blessed. The scripture says in Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed and prosperous is the nation who has God as their Lord. And America was founded by people who were Christians. They followed Jesus. You know, America is only 246 years old, and yet it leads the world in finance, in science, culture, technology, inventions. And by comparison, communist China is 5,000 years old. Blessed is the nation who has God as their Lord. I really believe that's why America has been so blessed. It was founded, America was founded by Christians. They knew that there was no freedom without God. Do you know that when the Declaration of Independence was signed, 99% of Americans declared themselves Christians? At the signing of the Declaration of America, 99% of Americans declared themselves Christians. And do you know that 29 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence had seminary degrees? They'd gone through Bible school. After the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Samuel Adams said this. He said, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom alone men ought to be obedient. From the rising to the setting of the sun, may his kingdom come." Our nation has been steadily moving away from God. And in some places, God has been removed from some public institutions. Prayer has been removed from public schools. But I believe it's coming back. You know, just recently, a high school coach was arrested. Not arrested, excuse me. He was fired because he prayed. Or he got down on his knees after the game and prayed on the field, and they fired him. And it went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and they said, no. He can do that. So I'm praying that prayer comes back into schools. In some places, in God we trust has been removed from the Pledge of Allegiance in some places. In a recent session of Congress, the Speaker of the House said that no politician or government representative should take a public stand on religious matters of any kind. And the thing that was so ironic was behind him on the wall was a big plaque that said, "In God we trust." Billy Graham said that there have been many times in America's history where certain men stood up for God and changed the course of history. At the first Constitutional Convention in 1787, they met to discuss problems that were facing the United States, and they were burdened by a tremendous crisis they were facing, but they were fragmented, and they were about to throw out the whole concept of the Constitution. But right then, a white old head gentleman by the name of Benjamin Franklin stood up and he said these words. He said, "Gentlemen, I have lived a long time, and the longer that I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that truth, that God governs the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I firmly believe this. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations to be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed. They started to pray in Congress. Imagine what would happen today if Congress got down on their knees and started to pray for God to guide us and help us and bless us. John Hancock got up and he said, "Let us humbly commit our righteous cause to the great Lord of the universe." He said, "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." Just to make it very clear who they're talking about, we recognize no other king other than Jesus. And they promptly got down on their knees and they prayed. I just, like I said, imagine what would happen today if all of Congress got down on its knees and began to pray. I believe revival would surely come to our shores if that happened. Can you say amen? Amen. I want you to see today that America was built upon Christian principles. Greece built a civilization on culture and it failed. And Rome built an empire on power and it crumbled. But our forefathers founded our nation on Christian principles and the Bible. And I believe the United States will live on and thrive as long as the Lord is her God. I believe our continuing freedom is dependent upon our dependence on God. Have you ever seen that picture of George Washington praying at Valley Forge? His little army was starving, freezing to death. Everything they held dear was at stake. They were fighting against seemingly impossible odds. But out there in the snow, President George Washington was down on his knees next to his horse praying. And this is what he prayed. This is his prayer. He prayed, "Almighty and eternal Lord God, the great creator of heaven and earth, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, look down from heaven in pity and compassion upon me, thy servant, who humbly prostrate myself before thee." Now, George Washington prayed and read his Bible every day. He said this, George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Think about that. That's what this nation was founded on, men and women. They said it's impossible to govern without God and the Bible. George Washington also said this, "What students would learn in American schools above all else is the religion of Jesus Christ." Hello, everybody. In his inaugural address on April the 30th, 1789, George Washington said this. He said, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to it's hard to read that in red, Monique. I'm going to have to read it from here. "Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven cannot be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained." Amen. Let me give you some other presidential quotes. John Adams, who I said was the second president and a signer of the Declaration of Independence, he said this. He said, "It is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue, and this cannot be inspired into our people in a greater measure that they have it now, that they may change their rulers and the forms of a government, but they will not obtain a lasting liberty." He said the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. So when you tie the independence and freedom we have as America, it's all based upon the Word of God. It's all based upon what God's Word says. John Quincy Adams, the sixth president, he also was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He said this. He said, "My custom is to read 4 or 5 chapters of the Bible every morning immediately after rising. It seems to me the most suitable manner of beginning the day. It is an invaluable and inexhaustible mine of knowledge and virtue. Started his day reading 4 or 5 chapters of the Bible. Patrick Henry, who famously said, "Give me liberty or give me death," he said this. He said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." I love that, because there's a big difference between the gospel of Jesus and religions. And the great thing about Christians and us who believe the Bible is we believe people have choice. And so here in America, that's founded on Christian principles, other religions are allowed. You can be any religion you want in America. But as long as we realize that this nation was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Noah Webster, who's been called the father of American education, his blueback speller books taught 5 generations of American children how to spell and how to read, and his name became synonymous with the dictionary, Noah Webster Dictionary, which is now the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. I think his granddaughter or great-granddaughter. He said this. He said, "God's word contained in the Bible has furnished all necessary rules to direct our conduct. God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God. If the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupted." He said this as well. "In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must have the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people." Amen. He said this, "The Bible was America's basic textbook in all fields." The Bible was America's basic textbook. He said, "Education is useless without the Bible." He said, "The principles of all genuine liberty and wise laws and administration are to be drawn from the Bible and sustained by its authority. The man, therefore, who weakens or destroys the divine authority of that book may be accessory to all the public disorders which society is doomed to suffer." In other words, the moment we stop following the Bible, we're doomed to suffer. Thomas Jefferson, our third president, he said, "God who gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed the conviction that these are the gift of God?" He also said, "The reason that Christianity is the best form of government is because Christianity is the only religion that changes the heart." He said, I hold the principles of Jesus as delivered by himself to be the most pure, benevolent, and sublime which have ever been preached to men. He said, "I hold the principles of Jesus to be the most important principles and truths that have ever been taught to men." He said this, "I have always said and will always say that the studious perusal of the sacred volume will make better citizens, better fathers, better husbands. The Bible makes the best people in the world." That's why I love to be an American. You go to any nation where the Bible's been removed, communist nations, Muslim nations, there's no freedom. Take away the Bible, you take away freedom. There are 170 nations that have adopted some form of the United States Constitution. And Thomas Jefferson wrote in the front of his Bible, he wrote these words, Praise the Lord. He said this. We're going to have to get rid of that echo if you can. Take off the reverb. Praise, thank you, Bronson. We still got the reverb going on? He wrote this in the front of his Bible. I am a real Christian. That is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus. I have little doubt that our whole country will soon be rallied to the unity of our Creator, Thomas Jefferson. James Madison, our fourth president, he said, we have staked the future of American civilization upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. Our seventh president, Andrew Jackson, said the Bible is the rock on which our republic stands. Are you getting the picture yet? Have you heard these things? Because I studied, I'd never heard these things. Now, you know, in South Africa, we didn't get American history in school. We got a tiny little bit, the Second World War, things like that, but we didn't study American history. We studied South African history. So I had to study this stuff out for myself, and I was amazed. When I started reading these things, I got excited thinking about this is what America stands for. Our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, he said this, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side because God is always right. He said, I am busily engaged in the study of the Bible. I believe it is God's word because it finds me where I am. I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good of the Savior of the world is communicated to us through the book, the Bible. He said, I am profitably engaged in reading the Bible. Take all of this book upon reason that you can and the balance by faith and you will live and die a better man. Here's one more from Abraham Lincoln. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own, intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. Our 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt, he said this, a thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education. I happen to agree with that. Understand the Bible is more important than a college education. But you know, the Bible's been removed from our colleges. Do you know that all of the Ivy League colleges in America started out as Bible schools? You can go and check this stuff up. But the Bible's actually been removed from those schools. They're not being taught things. In actual fact, they're being taught things that are against the Bible, that oppose what God's word says. Our 28th president, Woodrow Wilson, said this. He said, when you have read the Bible, you know it is the word of God because it is the key to your heart, your own happiness, and your own duty. America was born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelations of the Holy Scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a very simple thing to ask of you. I ask every man and woman in this audience that from this night on they will realize that part of the destiny of America lies in their daily perusal of this great book of revelations, that if they would see America free and pure, that they will make their own spirits free and pure by this baptism of the Holy Scripture. He said, if we want to see America free, we all need to study the Bible. What do you think would happen if everyone started reading 4 or 5 chapters of the Bible, every American? What do you think that would do? Our 30th president, Calvin Coolidge, said this. He said, the strength of our country is the strength of its religious convictions. The foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country. In other words, our Constitution is linked so closely with the Bible. Our 33rd president, Harry Truman, he said this. He said, the fundamental basis of this nation's law was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teaching we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul. I don't think we emphasize that enough these days. If we don't have the proper fundamental moral background, we will finally end up with a totalitarian government which does not believe in the right for anybody except the state. Couldn't have said it better today. Our 35th president, John F. Kennedy, said this, the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. Amen. Ronald Reagan, our 40th president, he said this. He said, of the many influences that have shaped the United States into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. He also said, within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. He said this, without God, there is no virtue because there is no prompting of the conscience. Without God, we're mired in the material, that flat world that tells us only what the senses perceive. Without God, there is a coarsening of the society. And without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. That's the spirit that built America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Can you say amen? The celebration of our nation's birthday is really a celebration of freedom. We celebrate the gift of freedom we have because of the price that others have paid. We must remember, freedom is not free. Freedom is very expensive. It costs some people everything, including their lives. I mean, our founding fathers risked their fortunes, their families, their reputations. They risked their very own lives. And many of them paid for our freedom with their blood and the blood of their children. And today, as we sit in security and worship and comfort, we do so because of thousands of men and women who have laid their lives down and shed their blood in forsaken places, in forsaken lands with their names not remembered, so that we could live in freedom in America. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm grateful for that. And our founding fathers knew there's no freedom without knowing Jesus Christ. You know, you can still live in this nation, free nation, and yet be bound in your soul. 2,000 years ago, Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary so that we could experience true freedom in our life. Because true freedom comes only by knowing Jesus. And our founding fathers knew this. And Jesus, he told us in John chapter 8, he said to those Jews who believed, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they said to him, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say that you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Jesus also said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. So Jesus is the truth. And the only way that you can know God is through Christ. The only way that you can be truly free in your soul is by knowing Jesus Christ. The scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he wants not only us, but everyone to be saved. Say, God wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to get to know the truth that we've learned, that there's one God and only one mediator between God and us, and that is Jesus, who offered himself in exchange for everyone held captive by sin to set them all free. That's telling us there's one God, there's one mediator between God, and that is Jesus. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and he came that we could be made free. Galatians 5 verse 1, Christ has set us free. This means we're really free. Say, Jesus has set me free. Say, I am really free. Jesus set us free from our sin. The scripture says in Revelation 1 verse 5, all glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. Jesus has freed us from our sins. And our sin is what separated us from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2, it is your sin that has cut you off from God. Sin is what separates us from God. You say, what is sin? Well, sin, it means to miss the mark. Anything that we do that is against God's will and against God's word, that's sin. And we've all sinned. Romans 3:23 says everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We have all sinned. But Jesus came to take that sin and to free us from it. In Galatians 3 verse 22, it says the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. We all were prisoners of sin, but we were set free by believing in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1 verse 7, he is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his son, and our sins are forgiven. Say, my sins are forgiven. And Jesus has purchased my freedom. Say, I've been freed from all sin. See, when Jesus shed his blood on that cross, he purchased our freedom from sin. He took our sin and punishment. And he set us free from the penalty of sin. In Ephesians 1 verse 7, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross. We're a free people. We're free of penalties. We're free of punishments chalked up by our misdeeds, and not just barely free. We are abundantly free. Because of what Jesus did, we have been made free of the penalty of sin, free of the punishment of sin. In Hebrews 9:15, it says, Christ died to set them free from the penalties of the sins that they had committed. You see, there's a penalty for sin. The ultimate consequence of sin is death. Not physical. I'm not talking physical death. I'm talking spiritual death, eternal spiritual death. In Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, that's not talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. And spiritual death means to be separated from God, because God is life. The Bible says God is life. There's no death in him. So if you're separated from God, separated from life, you're dead spiritually. You might be living and breathing physically, but spiritually, if you're not connected to God, the Bible says that's death. And eternal death is to be eternally separated from God. Are you with me so far? In Ephesians 2 verse 1, it says, you he made alive who were dead in trespass and sin. Say, I was dead, but Jesus has made me alive. In John 5:24, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. Say, I've passed from death to life. Because we were dead in our sin. We were separated from God. We didn't know him. But when we believed in Jesus, we received forgiveness. We were made a brand new person. We received life. And we were brought back into fellowship with God. He's now our Father. We are his children. In 1 John 3:14, yet you can be assured that we have been translated from spiritual death into spiritual life because we love the family of believers. A loveless life remains spiritually dead. Say, I've been translated from spiritual death into spiritual life. The Apostle Paul, he wrote in Acts 20:26, I declare today I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. In other words, I've been faithful to declare the good news about Jesus. And if anyone suffers eternal death, that's not on me, because I have told them the truth. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3, if the good news we preach is hidden to anyone, it is hidden from the one who is on the road to eternal death. Eternal death means to be separated from God for all eternity, which means eternity in a place called hell. Eternal death is the penalty of sin. We cannot pay the price for our sins. But thank God we don't have to, because Jesus already paid the penalty for us. He freed us from our sins. We're no longer guilty. If you read in John 19, the story of, you know, Jesus' death and crucifixion, right at the end when Jesus died, he called out, he cried out, "It is finished." That's how it's translated in most Bibles today. But the most accurate translation in the original text, the word "finished," it's a commercial word that means it is paid. The debt is paid in full. It is finished. It is paid for. In Colossians 2:13, it says, "Well, you were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He blotted out the record of the charges against you, the list of his commandments which you had not obeyed. He took this list of sins and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross." You see, the Bible says he blotted out our sins, and he forgave us, and we've been made alive. When he died on the cross, Jesus, he paid the price in full, and he set us free from the consequence of our sin. He paid for all our sins, past, present, and future. Because even after we become believers, how many of you know we still make mistakes and sometimes we still sin? Has anybody found that out yet? So what do? After you've received Christ in your life and you still make mistakes, well, thank God. God knew that was going to happen. And in 1 John 2 verse 1, it says, "My children, I'm writing this to you so that you won't sin. I don't want you to sin. But if you do sin, Jesus Christ always does the right thing, and he will speak to the Father for us. Christ is the sacrifice that takes away our sins and the sins of all the world's people." And I'm so thankful for 1 John 1 verse 9 that says, "If we freely admit our sin, when his light uncovers them, he will be faithful to forgive us every time." God is just to forgive us our sins because of Christ, and he will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the good news is that sin has no power over us, because Jesus paid the price for all of our sin, and we are free from guilt. We are free from blame. We are free from condemnation. Thank God we have been made alive. We've been made righteous. The Bible says in Acts 13, verse 39, "Everyone who trusts in him is freed from all guilt and declared righteous." Say, "I've been declared righteous." Say, "I've been free from all guilt." We are righteous and blameless in God's sight because of what Jesus did for us on that cross. In Colossians 1:22, it says, "Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and you are blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." Say, "As I stand before God, I am holy and I am blameless and I am righteous because of what Jesus did for me." Amen. We're free from all accusation. We're free from all condemnation. I'm so glad. The scripture says in Romans 8 verse 1, "The case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus." There's no condemnation. There's no accusation that can be brought against you because of what Jesus did on the cross for you and me. We are blameless before God. Jesus, he set us free from sin. Not only did Jesus set us free from sin, he set us free from sickness. He set us free from poverty. He set us free from fear. He set us free from anxiety, from worry, from all these. He set us free. In Galatians 3, in verse 13, it says, "Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our place." Jesus paid the price to set us free from the curse. And the curse for breaking God's law, if you go and study it, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it'll tell you that the curse of breaking God's law was just all kinds of sicknesses and defeat and poverty. But Jesus set us free from the curse of the law, from the curse of sickness, from the curse of poverty. In Matthew 8:17, it says that he took our sicknesses and he removed our diseases. And in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "By his wounds you were healed." Jesus took my sickness so I don't have to have it. He redeemed me from the curse of sickness, and by his wounds I have been healed. I'm free from sickness. Jesus paid the price for me to be free from my sin, for me to be free from sicknesses. Amen. He paid the price for me to be free from poverty. In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, it says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty, you might become rich. Jesus became poor so that you and I don't have to be. Jesus set us free from sickness. He took that sickness upon himself. Jesus set us free from demonic powers. He gave us authority over every demonic spirit. In Colossians 2, verse 20, it says, he set you free from spiritual powers of this world. He set you free from that. In Colossians 1, 13, he delivered us from the power of darkness. He conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, there's demonic spirits operating in this world in which we live. 1 John 5, 19 says, we know we're the children of God, and the rest of the world around us is under Satan's power and control. If you just take a look at the world today, surely you can see that this world is under the control and influence of the devil and demons. I mean, just have a look what's going on. I look at it myself sometimes, and I think, this is crazy, man. This is just, the world's gone crazy because it's under the influence of demonic spirits. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, mighty powers in the dark world. The Bible says that we're in a spiritual warfare. There's demonic spirits. We used to be under their control. We used to be under their influence. In Ephesians 2, verse 2, you used to live in sin, like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He's the spirit that's at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. You see, we used to be under the control and influence of the enemy, but Jesus set us free, and he gave us authority over those demons. The scripture says in Luke 10, verse 19, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Mark 16, 17, Jesus said, these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. He said in James 4, verse 7, stand up to the devil, resist him, and he will flee in agony. See, you've got authority. We don't have to let the enemy control us and influence us and beat us up. We can take authority over him. The Bible says you resist him, and he will flee from you. You'll drive out demons in the power of my name. Can you say amen? See, when the enemy comes to attack you, you stand up to him. You have authority over him, because even though Jesus has paid the price for us to be free in all these areas, you've got to take hold of this, and you've got to believe it, and you've got to receive it by faith. Jesus has paid the price for everyone to be saved and from their sin, but if they don't believe it and receive it, they can die and go to hell if they want to. And let me tell you that you can be a believer and yet still be bound by sickness, because you've got to take hold of what Jesus paid for. You've got to receive it by faith. You can still struggle and have lack and financial difficulty if you don't take hold of what God's word says and say, no, Jesus became poor so that I could become rich, so that I could be blessed. You see, in Hebrews chapter 3, which is the great faith chapter in the Bible, it talks about all the things that the heroes of faith did. And it says in Hebrews 11:33, their faith fastened onto the promises and pulled them into the realm of reality. Do you know that it is your faith that fastens onto the promises of God and pulls them into the realm of reality? Your faith is what causes God's promises to become a reality in your life, because God already paid the price for you to live free, but it's not going to be a reality unless you take hold of it by faith. That means you must believe what God's word says and declare it over your life. And as you study the Word of God and read the Word of God, you'll discover everything that is available to you as a believer, everything that God has made available to you. And then you take hold of that by faith. And a lot of Christians are missing out because of what they don't know. The Bible says in Hosea 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Do you know that there are many of God's people that are being destroyed in their life because of what they don't know? And that's why Jesus said in John 8, 31, if you abide in my word, you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, you can hold the truth in your hand, in your Bible, but until you begin to read it and study it and know what God says, it's knowing the truth and putting that truth into practice that causes you to be free. The New Testament is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. It tells us everything that is ours, that belongs to us through Jesus. That's why it's so important for us to read the Bible, read what belongs to us, so you can claim everything that Jesus died for you to have. You know, we cannot be truly free without Christ. And the founding fathers of America knew that. Despite what some modern politicians or media or critics may say, America was not founded on the concept of freedom to worship any God, but the freedom to worship Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this July 4th, as we celebrate the freedoms we have in America and the faith of our founding fathers, let's turn our heart toward our Heavenly Father, who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. He gave His only Son, who gave His life for us. Today, we celebrate our independence in America from tyranny and bondage to an oppressive government, and independence won 246 years ago. But we also, we celebrate that as a nation, but that's just temporary. How many of you know this world is not our home? Do you know really our allegiance is to heaven? Really, we are citizens of heaven. Philippians 3 verse 20 says, we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. So I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm thankful to live in America. I feel blessed to live in America. But I realize that I'm just passing through here. Really, my real citizenship and my real allegiance is as a citizen of heaven, to the kingdom of God, where Jesus Christ is. That's my real home. That's my home. Are you following me? We should celebrate our independence from the tyranny and bondage of the devil. We should celebrate our freedom from the bondage of sin and fear and death and sickness and poverty, and independence that was won 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to that cross. There's an independence that will last all of eternity. See, there's a greater freedom than political freedom. There's a freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, if we'll put our trust in Him, if we'll surrender to Him, if we'll follow Him. Jesus bled and died and gave His life so you and I could be free. And if you haven't accepted His sacrifice and the freedom that it brings, I encourage you to do so today, to receive Jesus into your life today. Amen. Let me tell you, as I mentioned, I was born in Detroit in, 1964. We moved to South Africa. The Lord called me back here in 1999, and I love America. It's the land of my birth, and I believe it's the greatest nation on earth, and I believe we are privileged, and I believe that we are blessed to live in this nation. I know that we face challenges in this nation, but there's so many things I love about our nation. We must continue to pray for our nation. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7, if my people who call by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will restore their land. I pray that God will heal and restore our land. I pray that one day boys and girls will be able to pray in public schools again. Amen. I pray that revival will spread across this nation and reach into every town and every city. I pray that the halls of Congress will ring with the sound of prayer and singing praises to God. I pray that the family unit will be restored in America to its proper place in society as the very foundation of our nation. Can you say amen? I pray that the church will once again become the centerpiece of the community where people will look for comfort and inspiration and leadership. I pray that churches in the United States will be packed every service and that a hunger for God's word will spread across this land. I pray that America will return to the faith of our founding fathers. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Can you say amen with me? Come on, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you today. We thank you for your hand of blessing and protection on this nation. We declare, Jesus, you are Lord of America. And we pray, Lord, that you will guide, that you will bless, that you will protect this nation. We pray, Father, for revival to spread across America from the east to the west and the north to the south. We pray that the fires of revival would burn brightly. The Lord, that many, many would be swept into your kingdom. We pray for a great awakening in America before Jesus returns. We know, Lord, there's going to be a great awakening and a great revival. And we thank you, Lord, that you're pouring out your spirit upon this nation. We pray for America, Father. We pray for your blessing. We pray for your guidance. We pray, Lord, for your protection. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have set us free. We thank you for the price that you paid. We thank you, Lord, that you've freed us from our sins. You've freed us from condemnation. You've freed us from accusation. You've freed us from the curse. You've freed us from sickness. You've freed us from poverty. You've freed us from fear. You've freed us from worry and anxiety. You've freed us from demonic powers. You've given us authority, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you. We are grateful, Lord, for your blessing. We are grateful for your goodness, Father. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise today, Lord. We give you praise today, Father, in Jesus' name. Just bow your head for a moment, if you would, while heads are bowed. I just want to pray. If there's anyone here this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is well, if all is right between you and the Lord today, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Can you say without any doubt that you know if you were to take your last breath, you know that you'd spend the rest of eternity? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can know that for sure. You can walk out of here today knowing that all is right, all is well between you and God, that every sin, every mistake you've ever committed, it's forgiven and it's washed away. You can leave here today knowing for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, then I ask you right now, just slip your hand up high. Just lift your hand up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you are included in this prayer this morning. Thank you, Lord. All right. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them, God bless America. Tell them, thank you for Jesus.
Great word, right? I thank God for freedom. There's nothing quite like it, right? Well, there's a good smell of hot dogs and hamburgers outside, a little waft of that coming in, and we hope you'll hang around and have a burger or hot dog with us after service. But now is the time where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God, and we're so thankful to all the faithful tithers and givers. Thank you to those that are watching online. You can go ahead and give. There's various ways that you can give. It'll come up on the screen. One of the new ways our bank just gave us access to was Zelle. So if you want to have a look at that, there's a barcode on the counter in the lobby. You can just scan that, a QR code. I just wanted to, somebody asked me this question this week, and it's a very valid question, and I'm sure one that you people have at times. But he said this to me. He said, isn't tithing, which is bringing the first tenth to the Lord, isn't that under the law? And we are free from everything that's under the law. We're not no longer bound by the law, that we live in grace in the New Testament. And I said, well, that's a good question because it bears answering. But, you know, tithing began, it preceded the law. We see right in Genesis chapter 4, we see Cain and Abel bringing the first fruit of what they made to the Lord. So it's right back in the beginning, right in the children of the Garden of Eden. They bring in a first fruit to the Lord, and the law wasn't around then. And then we see in Genesis 14, I think it is, it says, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem and priest of God Most High, brought Abraham some bread and wine. So we see the high priest, Melchizedek, and we see Abram. And it says that Melchizedek blessed Abraham with this blessing. He said, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has defeated your enemies for you. So Abraham had this great victory. It says, then Abraham gave Melchizedek, the high priest, a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. So this was a tithing was something that was practiced way before the law. It was included under the law, but it was came after the law as well. And Jesus even said in Matthew 23:23, he said, you know, he told the Pharisees, he's like, you tithe off the last mint leaf in your garden, but you forget about love and mercy. And then he had the chance to say, don't worry about tithing, but he said, yes, you should tithe. So there you go. That's the New Testament. So I just thought I'd answer that question for some people. And the truth is that tithing carried a blessing with it in the Old Testament and before the law, and the tithing carries a blessing upon it in this day and age. Amen. And so we honor God with our giving today. We honor God with our giving, and we advance His kingdom, and we thank you for your faithfulness. So there's envelopes in the seats where you are. Those that are watching online, thank you for giving. And we're going to pray right now. Father, I thank you for every family represented here. We thank you, Father. We honor you with our giving. We put your kingdom first. We say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for blessing upon the households and upon the careers. And thank you for increase. Father, even as the world talks inflation and decrease, we thank you that our eyes are fixed on you as the source of everything we need. Thank you, Father. There's no shortage in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go ahead with the offering buckets. Thank you. I just want to give you a heads up that during the month of July and August, half of August, we're going to do a back-to-school drive. And so we're going to be collecting school supplies for those that parents are having a hard time buying all of that. We want to bless some people. So just go ahead and buy school supplies from wherever you shop. And we're going to start collecting them from next week. So thank you for doing that. Pastor, you heading out for a hot dog? You had one already this weekend. He never eats. He never eats that stuff, right? But 4th of July, got to do it. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for your blessings that abound in our lives. We thank you for this weekend, for keeping each and every one of your children safe and blessing their lives, Father. And until we meet again next week, we thank you for your angels that go protect us, go with us, for your Holy Spirit who guides us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you. We'll see you out in the lobby.